Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.
I mean, just saying, icy hot. Q and I, we're some old guys. We're banged up. We can use that icy hot.
Hey, man, take it easy, man. I might be old, but I'm still sexy, brother. Come on now.
That's Q Myers. I'm Joe Fortenbaugh. It's Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Thank you. More importantly than anything else we'll say today, thank you for spending some of your time with us today. It is greatly appreciated, as always. We got a hockey doubleheader tonight on ESPN, 7:30 p.m. It's the Bruins and the Panthers. Boston up 1-0 in that series. I expect a strong response from Florida, followed by Game 1, Oilers-Canucks. That could be a shootout to end all shootouts in the second round of the playoffs. Let's get to this. Last night in the association, an absolute butt-kicking.
Rebound, Drew Holiday, Boston by 17, and the ball here early in the fourth. Jaylen, pull up, three in the air, 20-point lead. Wow. For the fifth time in the playoffs and the 46th time in the 88 games they've played, Boston is up by 20.
Boston in a complete rout by 25 of the Cleveland Cavaliers in game one of the Eastern Conference semifinals last night. Boston has five wins this postseason. Those five wins are by 20 points, 20 points, 14 points, 34 points, and 25 points. Q, there's something I wanted to run by you. We had had discussions, Carl and I, on this show for quite some time about the pressure Boston was facing this season. You look around at the landscape of the NBA playoffs, Minnesota and OKC, they were upstarts. Not a lot of pressure there because the expectations weren't very high. Clippers, you could try to put some pressure on it, but ultimately I think everyone knows that they're going to crack at some point well before the championship is decided. The Lakers, the Warriors, there's pressure on LeBron and Steph for their legacies to an extent, but I don't think anyone saw them as formidable challengers. In the East, when it came to Boston, the thought process was pretty simple. You got a relatively easy path through your conference, which means it's possible you have one big series at the end of the line. So at the bare minimum, there's going to be a lot of pressure just to get to the championship. But if you go against Denver and they're the reigning champs and they find a way to beat you, not necessarily the end of the world because they're that darn good. Now that Denver's in an 0-2 hole, it looks like the finals could be opening up a little bit. And I wonder, is the pressure ratcheting up even more for Boston to close this season? Like, are we finding ourselves in that championship or bust sort of situation with the Boston Celtics?
I think we're doing that regardless. I think we're doing that regardless of Denver in their situation with Minnesota right now, only because we've been told about it. We've seen what Boston can look like when they're clicking. We see what they've been doing all season long, blowing everyone out. We see what they're doing in the playoffs, blowing everyone out. Does anyone think that they're not the best team in the league? No. So go and seal the deal, right? I mean, again, I like to reference the Warriors as a Warrior fan and a guy from you that covered the Warriors like a glove in the Bay Area. At
Let's
one point,
not get crazy. It was very loose. Loose coverage.
Well, you know, hey, that glove might not have fitted the way it was supposed to, but that's a different conversation that we'll have. The point is, they were the best team in the league at some point. You knew that they've just got to go get it done, and they did. Boston is that team. They've got a dynamic duo in Jaylen Brown and, of course, Jason Tatum. They've got to get it done. We hear that conversation every single year. Can these two do it? They brought in KP to be what? The guy that can basically take the Joker out. And I'm not saying anyone could take the Joker out, but that's why KP was brought in. The recipe is there. The ingredients are already there. Now you just got to come out and make the dish perfect, and that's on Boston.
I can see into the future, and I think many people can see this, just a hypothetical here, but an obvious one. If the Celtics find their way in the finals and lose, and it's not against Denver, I think they're going to get absolutely buried. They are going to get buried. They trashed everybody during the regular season. They had the best record by a mile. They crushed the Warriors by 50 points in Boston. They trashed the Heat in the opening round of the playoffs. It looks like they're going to destroy Cleveland in the second round of the playoffs. Third round against the Knicks. The Knicks could be formidable, but I don't even know if they're going to be playing five full guys throughout that series. They could be down to Brunson and whatever Villanova is going to graduate in advance of the draft so they can get a full roster out there. Like, that's how banged up they are. If you, this is realistic to think, you could go into a series with the Knicks, if that's who you end up playing. You could handle them in five, maybe six. You could make it look relatively easy. You get to the finals with Jaylen Brown as the highest paid player in the NBA right now, with Jason Tatum, who people were trying to make a very strong case for MVP this year, with Derek White hitting every three-pointer he takes, with Kristaps Porzingis coming back healthy, assuming he comes back healthy, with Drew Holiday. You go up against a team like Minnesota, an upstart, who could truly be a great team, and you lose that series, that Boston team's going to get crushed.
Absolutely. Like
there is no way the Celtics come away from this season not winning the title outside of injuries to all their key guys, where people are like, yeah, it was a good run there. They gave it their all. They'll be back. Like, this is it. You're not going to get a better path than you got right now.
No, you're not. And so, yeah, they're going to get crushed, as they should, right? I mean, at some point, it can't be about coulda, woulda, shoulda. It's about getting done. They need to get it done. They need to seal the deal. All this flirting with sealing the deal is fine and dandy, but it's time to stop flirting and time to seal the deal. Put a ring on that thing. You got to go and finish it off.
We just assume that these windows open up in championship sports for certain teams, and that, you know, they're going to have plenty of opportunity to get there. Like, I just watching the UFC card on Saturday night, like, Steve Ursig loses that fight in the main event to Alexandre Pantoja, and everyone sits there and they all say the same thing. Oh, Ursig's going to be back. It was a great fight. He's come on real strong. He's going to be back. There's no guarantee.
Mm-mm.
You can get hurt. Another guy rises up. A fight gets canceled because a guy misses weight. Like, certain things can stack up. A couple other things can break against you, and before you know it, what you thought was a big championship window can close fast. Look at the Denver Nuggets. Everyone assumes, like, last year, okay, the window opened. Nah, the window's been open. This is pretty much the fourth year. Like, this group has been together for about 4 years where a championship's been reasonable. 4 years ago, it was an injury that derailed them. I should say 3 years ago. 2 years ago, it's an injury that derailed them. Last year, they find themselves winning. This year, it's injuries. It's the Timberwolves. Like, before you know it, you can look at the Nuggets and say, okay, they got that championship. But, you know, we were kind of thinking it would be a little bit more, and it didn't work out. But a team like Minnesota comes surging out of nowhere. OKC comes surging out of nowhere. Boston's been flirting with this for years. Years. If they don't close here, it's not like the Eastern Conference is just going to lay out the red carpet for them every season.
Man, it's like the A's. I always thought that there was going to be, back in the late 80s, I thought that the A's were going to be that team forever, right? 88,
yeah.
Lost. 89, won. 90, lost. Ain't never sniffed it again, right? I mean, it's just, that's how windows are. Look what Dan Campbell said about the Lions when they lost to the Niners in the championship game. I can't guarantee that those fellas are going to be back in this position again.
Yeah.
Like, he knew that.
There's always this assumption that, all right, the Lions look really good. And now what's everyone doing? Everyone's picking the Lions to win the NFC.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone assumes the Lions are going to be formidable. Yeah, if it all breaks right, they'll be there. They'll be in contention. But you can't guarantee there won't be an injury. You can't guarantee some team won't become last year's version of the Lions this year and take you out on their way to the NFC Championship game. So much of this has to be capitalized upon when the opportunity arises. They had that shot against Golden State a couple years ago, and they just couldn't figure it out. They jumped up early in the series, and the Warriors were just too crafty with the way they deployed their assets, with the way Andrew Wiggins played, with the fact that Tatum and Brown completely ran out of gas in that series, and they had nothing at the end to answer with. And we just assume that the team is built so well, it's going to happen. 1 year goes by, another year goes by, you come up short here, you have an injury there, and before you know it, the window's closed. And I'm looking at them this year, and I'm thinking, if you get Minnesota, if you get OKC, if you catch the ultimate break where Philadelphia was hurt, Cleveland's not great, the Knicks are banged up beyond belief, the Miami Heat aren't a threat, they've been a thorn in your side forever. If all these things break your way so you can cruise to the finals, and then you don't even have to deal with Denver or LeBron or Steph Curry or any of these guys. You get Minnesota and you can't close. I mean, I think we are having some real serious conversations about the future of the Celtics after that. And a lot of it will be hot, takey stuff, and I'll be involved, no doubt. That's what I do. I love it. But, I mean, it doesn't get any better than this. It really doesn't. And that said, I think a lot of people are still looking at Minnesota thinking that could be the team this year. It could be that quick for them.
Yeah, I mean, when you have the defending champs on the ropes right now, when you're up 2-0 and you went into their house and got it done, yeah, of course, everyone's going to lean to Minnesota. Like, hey, that's really that team. Again, a lot of people are just now getting eyeballs on Minnesota since the playoffs have started. So now that's the hot team, man. That's the flavor of the month. Everyone's got to go get those dubs on the car, right? You got to go get the new all-black rims because everyone's doing it. That's the Minnesota Timberwolves right now. They're the all-black rims that everybody wants.
If the Celtics start feeling that pressure, you got to wonder. Jalen Brunson and the the Knicks. How far can he take them, given the way they're currently constructed with all these injuries and now another one? We're going to talk about that next. Q Myers, Joe Fortenbaugh, Carlin versus Joe on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.
All right, we played this one earlier in the week. We're going to go back to the well on it as well. It's a player prop in tonight's matchup between the Knicks and the Pacers. Tyrese Haliburton to go under 30.5 par. What's par? Points plus assists plus rebounds. P-A-R, par. So you add them all up, and we bet that that number will be less than 30. 30.5 par, we're going under. Here's why. He's hurt. It clearly shows. He's not aggressive with his shot. He only had 6 points in game one. When you add up his game one par, it was just 16. Now, he might get some more shots up tonight, but the Knicks are a pretty good defensive squad. They play at a slower pace. They're going to try to limit the exposure he can get out there from a scoring and production standpoint. And when you look at the home-road splits, this is the key for Haliburton this postseason. His par at home has been vastly superior to his par on the road. He's averaging through what I believe is now 5 road games in the postseason, 23.5 par, points plus assists plus rebounds. So let's play under 30.5 tonight, Tyrese Haliburton par, pizza money number 3.
Stolen by McBride, taken by Anunoby, dribbles towards midcourt, game one goes to the Knicks, 121 to 117.
We're going to have to do a lot better than we did tonight, but just finding a way to win at the end, you know, and obviously there's a lot for us to work on and clean up.
We can't just win and sit back and relax. We got to continue to learn and be better. We knew we could have played better tonight, and they had our number for most of the night. We just made a couple more plays down the stretch, and so we just know that we need to be better because they're going to be better.
Up 1-0 in their Eastern Conference semifinal matchup with the Indiana Pacers. Tonight's matchup, Knicks laying 4.5, total of 218.5. Knick games this postseason, Knick wins, I should say, have been decided by an average of 4.4 points per game. They haven't won any game by more than 7 points. It's one of the reasons they've been as exciting as hell this postseason, and a big reason why is Jalen Brunson. Q, I want you to listen to something. Okay. This is Greeny talking about Brunson versus Anthony Edwards in terms of whose postseason run has been more impressive. Play it for me.
The answer is Brunson, because Anthony Edwards is doing what it seemed his destiny was to do. Maybe he's getting there a little sooner, and maybe he has a higher ceiling. Ultimately, he may be on his way to being the best player in the world. What Jalen Brunson is doing is shocking, stunning. No one saw it coming. There's no way in hell Leon Rose, who can like take the bow of all bows for that signing, which is one of the best contract signings that any team has made in the NBA in maybe ever. There's no way he said, oh, he's going to wind up being the best player in the entire league in the biggest moments of the season. But that's what he is.
Agree or disagree that Jalen Brunson's postseason run has been better than Anthony Edwards?
I want to agree. I do. I really want to agree because I know what he's doing. He's doing the heavy lifting. But the only reason I'm going to side with Ant-Man here is because he does it on both ends of the court. He does it defensively and offensively, and that's what to me is more impressive. Even when he's having days that are off nights, in his standards, he's still getting in your jersey. He's still guarding you baseline to baseline. He's making you earn everything and get easy buckets, like creating turnovers and get things going. So that's the only reason I'm a rock with Anthony Edwards on that one. But the argument that Greeny has about Jalen Brunson, it's a fair argument. I just think that defensively, Ant-Man, he seals the deal that way.
It's such a good debate because mm-hmm. both players have been incredible. On one hand, to try to counteract what you just said, Game 2 against Phoenix, Anthony Edwards, 3 of 12, finished with 15 points, didn't have a great shooting night. They had no problems winning that game by double digits, right? Like, he has a lot more that he can lean on than Brunson has. But at the same time, he's taken down the defending champs in Games 1 and Games 2. Game 2, I should say. Meanwhile, the Knicks, while they got past the Sixers, now they've got this matchup with the Pacers, not exactly seen as formidable competition. So we could sit here and split hairs all day. Both runs have been extraordinary. When it comes to Brunson and the Knicks, I think the question is either a combination of how much longer can Brunson keep this up because he's dropping 40 seemingly every night. I mean, his player prop tonight is 37.5. Who has a scoring prop of 37.5 and people are scared to take the under? How much longer can he do this? Is this the type of thing where we see Brunson put up monster numbers against the Pacers, second round in a row, gets past Indiana, runs into Boston, and then it all comes crashing down? Or does this thing continue all the way to the finals?
I mean, this can really continue as long as he's on the court, right? I think that teams obviously are trying to focus in on slowing him down. And that would be the game plan if I, you know, was in charge. Slow that guy down and make the others beat you, right? Do everything you can to get the ball out of that guy's hand. Don't let him get to his spot. Don't try to let him get to the bucket. Make everything as difficult as possible on him and then live with the results. But Jalen Brunson, you know, is just he's really been defying all the odds. Every time you think that this is going to slow him down or this team is going to slow him down, he finds a way to overcome that. And, you know, to Greeny's point, when they signed him in New York as a free agent, nobody thought he was going to be the dude he is right now. Oh. And that contract is looking very, very team friendly.
It's an all-time jackpot hit. Yep. You're in Vegas. You know what that's about. That is an all-time jackpot hit for the New York Knicks. You had to do the evaluations. You had to weigh the pros and the cons. You ultimately made the decision. You get all the benefits from it. And he has been extraordinary. Like, we don't even talk about Julius Randle.
No.
We don't even talk about Julius Randle. We talked more about Maxi Kleber being out game one for the Mavericks against the Thunder than we have talked about Julius Randle this entire postseason. We talk more about Jamal Murray being dinged up than we talked about Julius Randle this entire postseason. We talked more about Kristaps Porzingis getting hurt at the end of a series that the Celtics were obviously going to win and being hurt for a series that the Celtics are obviously going to win now against Cleveland. We talk more about that than Julius Randle being out. Brunson has been so good that the previous franchise star in New York, we don't even discuss the fact that he is not playing in this postseason. Like, that is remarkable to make people forget about that. Like, if you're the Knicks, you got to be figuring, all right, if we're going to continue to build around Brunson, Randall's clearly not a guy we need. How do we move him to continue to build up this roster? Because it's extraordinary. You lose a guy that's supposed to be the face of the franchise. Your playoff dreams are supposed to be dead. You're not supposed to have some guy step up and become the star of the postseason while dropping 40 every night, eliminating the competition.
Well, I think that was the conversation throughout the course of the season while Julius Randle was injured. And, well, maybe he's coming back, maybe he's coming back. I think most Knicks fans realized he wasn't coming back pretty early and said, why don't he just go ahead and have the surgery, get it over with, and move on? What can the Knicks get for him? How can they bring in another player to complement what Brunson is doing? Not how can they get Randle back into the mix. Now it's the conversation about, okay, how can they improve that roster by moving on from Julius Randle?
Who's it got to be for the Pacers tonight? Like, if you're going to get back in this series, you got dudes, man. You got dudes on this team. Like, someone has got to step up for them. They made the big trade for Pascal Siakam. They've got Tyrese Haliburton. Like, who's it going to be?
Halliburton's got to be the guy, right? Siakam, I have a lot of confidence in, but you just know he's not going to drop 35 a night, right? I mean, there's times where he'll drop 35, but he's not going to do that consistently. Halliburton has got to be the guy that we all saw when the Pacers went on their run during, you know, the middle of the season, when they went on their in-season tournament run, and everyone kind of got introduced to who he was and realized, wow, that's a really good player. Maybe Sacramento should have let him go.
Yeah.
He's got to go and be that guy. guy again. And I know he's banged up, but he's got to suck it up. He's got to figure it out, and he's got to be that dude again.
I mean, he only took six shots. Obi Toppin came off the bench and had seven shots.
Can't do that.
Like Halliburton, and we've seen this. We saw this in the Milwaukee series. There were games where he was gun-shy. Mm-mm. Like, he wouldn't pull the trigger. I don't think he can find himself out there. I don't think he's comfortable exactly with what's being thrown his way. He is playing banged up. But, I mean, again, you go back through this game one, and you look at the pace, and you're thinking Obi Toppin and T.J. McConnell came off the bench and gave you 30 points, and you lost. Right. You got 30 points off the bench, and that's before you talk about Jackson and Shepard giving you another 16. To get 46 bench points in the NBA postseason and come up short against a team that's playing like six guys due to injury, you can't lose a game like that.
Well, that's why Halliburton's got to step up.
Huge. And he's got to step up huge.
Right, and you said that he's gun-shy. You're guaranteed to miss a shot you don't take. You've got to be willing. Right? That's all I need. Look, if you're willing and you go out there and give me everything you got and you come up short, I can live with that. I can't live with you not pulling the trigger. You've got to go ahead and fire away.
I like him a little bit tonight plus the 4.5, but I'm a little scared of that. I wonder, the point I keep coming back to is the Knicks had a lot of things go their way in game one. They were almost 50% from long range. They were over 50% from the field. That shooting's going to dip a bit, but, and this is a big but, a lot went right for Indiana in that game as well. Like we just talked about, 46 points off the bench. They shot pretty well. I keep thinking to myself, like, a huge swing in the midst. Like, can you maintain that one more game? At least keep it tight enough. Because 4.5, you can be right there. And then a couple late fouls, the Knicks hit their free throws, you jack up at three, you miss, and that's the game. I mean, we're talking about my pockets here. That's more important than anything else.
Well, for the Pacers, the most important thing is getting the dub, and I do believe they can get the dub. I think that the bench is going to contribute, right? I think that that's where they have the advantage over the Knicks because the Knicks don't have a bench. So the Pacers have to know that their bench has to contribute, but they also have to look at their starters and say, all right, y'all, I need you to give me some. And I got to look at Halliburton, and I say, hey, look, man, let's go walk into the bathroom and look in the mirror together.
Yeah.
What do you see? I need you to see that dude.
Someone's got to be the star. Like, looking around at what Brunson's doing, at what Anthony Edwards is doing, and elsewhere, like, you got to realize someone has to be the star if this team's going to have any chance of advancing. Speaking of which, a lot of conversation around Jalen Brunson, justifiably so. A lot of conversation around Anthony Edwards, justifiably so. We're sleeping. Everybody out there is sleeping on one particular situation in the NBA that needs to be addressed. We're going to hit you with that next, but that's after I have this from our friends at Grainger. Ladies and gentlemen, for the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have both the knowledge and experience to answer all your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Feeling like you need a marketing degree and an extra day in your week to successfully market your small business? Let Constant Contact do the heavy lifting for you. Constant Contact's award-winning marketing platform has powerful tools that make it easy to grow your audience, engage your customers, and sell more to boost your business. Now, in just a few clicks, you can launch a marketing campaign that's tailored to your business and goals. That includes email, social, SMS, and more. So you can sell more, raise more, and fast-track your business growth. Plus, you can always count on Constant Contact's award-winning customer support for guidance along the way. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall.
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.
Final score, Oklahoma City 117, the Dallas Mavericks 95. 1-0 lead for the home team, the top seeded Thunder here in the Western Conference semifinals.
They landed a couple punches there, and it's a long series. You know, we have to be ready for a better version of them. You know, coming out in game two, we would expect that.
You always want to come out on the winning side, and that's what we did tonight, but we understand there's no being pleased, you know, in a playoff series. You know, the series isn't over, so we still got a lot of work to do.
Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. It is great to have you along for the ride with us today. So much focus on what's happening in New York, justifiably so. So much focus on what's happening in Minnesota, justifiably so. What about what's happening in Oklahoma City, Q Myers? The Thunder began their second round playoff series with the Mavericks in spectacular fashion. A 25-point beatdown to grab a 1-0 series lead over a Mavericks team that made relatively short work of the Los Angeles Clippers once they pretty much figured out what they needed to figure out about three games in. You work your way through this NBA postseason from a Thunder perspective. They are now 5-0. They are winning those five games by 17 points per game. Four of the five have been decided by eight or more points. Three of the five have been decided by 20 or more points, including last night's beatdown of Luka, Kyrie, and the Mavericks. Like, all this talk about Minnesota and New York, shouldn't we be talking about the Thunder at some point?
Yeah, the Thunder last night said, hey, don't forget that we're the one seed. Hey, don't forget that we are the OK City Thunder. Oh, don't forget that we're really stinking good. We've got a really young team that's got a lot of complimentary pieces, and we're blowing teams out. And, oh, by the way, we haven't lost. Like, that's their biggest default, is the fact that we haven't seen them play in very many games. And they've been on in a time slot when we don't really get focused in on them as we probably should. But make no mistake about it, they are a very good team. They've been a very good team all year long. And really, it's just a matter of, can they continue to go at this rapid pace, which it feels like they can?
I mean, Anthony Edwards has been incredible. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander goes 29-9-9 last night, and everyone's just, I mean, I guess at some point we'll tune in. You know, we've already kind of put the Minnesota Timberwolves in the finals against the Celtics, and it's like, damn, man. Like, you can't sleep on what this team is doing. They might run through Dallas, especially since Luke is playing banged up here. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, aforementioned Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, with a monster game last night. Here's what he had to say afterwards.
It's what we've looked like all year. Every guy has a role. In the beginning of the season, we made it a point to control what we can control in our role and in our effort and our energy, and locking in on what our role is part of that. And that's just something that we come into the building every day. We come to work every day, and we do. We try to master our role, and everybody, obviously, it looks different for. But we have a group of guys that embraces their role and tries to excel in it, and that's why.
You know, Windy was on with us earlier, and he made a really interesting point about this team. They're so versatile. Like, the Knicks right now are so banged up, they can really only throw a handful of guys at you, and those guys they throw at you have very specific roles. Like, Brunson's going to score, okay? Right. And then the guys around him, hopefully there's a few that hit some shots. DiVincenzo, Josh Hart. OKC can deploy several different lineups at you. They have elite defenders that they can throw at Luka and Kyrie. They've got a bunch of bench players. I think he said at one point they can play 10 different guys. Right. Like, imagine being able to play 10 different guys deep in the playoffs.
Well, that's what's going to get it done for you in the playoffs. You're going to have to be able to go to that bench, and that's what concerns me about the Knicks, is can they maintain what they've been maintaining with that short amount of rotation that they're using, right? I'm very skeptical of it, but so far they've defeated the odds. On the other side of things, when you're looking at OKC, they don't have to worry about defeating the odds because they've got that bench. They've got young talent. They've got dudes that are hungry and thirsty. When they get into the game, whether it's 2 minutes or 20 minutes, they're going to make it the best 2 minutes or 20 minutes of their game or in their career, really, right? They leave it all out there on the line, and that's what young dudes do, especially young dudes that are trying to prove themselves in the league, and that's what OKC is.
Nine guys played 15 or more minutes last night. Nine guys in the NBA postseason. I know it was a bit of a blowout, but nine guys are getting 15 or more minutes in the NBA postseason. I remember watching the Warriors when I was there, and you would get deep into the playoffs and you would just watch the bench shrink. You'd watch it shrink in terms of who was going to get action on the floor, and you'd eventually get to the point where it'd be limited guys, and when you did turn it over to the bench, it might be someone who's going to give you 4 or 5 minutes. Like, I remember they would turn it over to JaVale McGee for like 4 or 5 minutes to switch things up. They'd throw these lobs to McGee. The defense couldn't handle it. They'd call timeout. They'd make the switch. They'd know how to attack McGee, and that would be the exact moment Kerr would get him out of the game and go back to what he was doing. Like, right. It's just these little chess moves around the board that can set you up for success. OKC, it looks like by my count, 13 guys played last night.
Right.
13 guys got minutes against the Dallas Mavericks. In the same blowout, the Mavericks played a bunch of guys as well because they had to. But moving forward, I don't know. I mean, winning this series in five, I don't think it's hyperbole to start getting out in front of it. I think the thing that's happened here, no one wanted to give OKC any credit throughout the course of the regular season because, for the most part, well, you know, they're really young. And we know what happens to young teams in the playoffs, right? They get exposed. They're not getting exposed.
I think that was it, though, Joe. I don't think anyone didn't want to give them credit. I think everyone was just kind of know what – we've been there, done that, right? We've seen teams that have been really good, and then the young team gets to the playoffs, and they don't know how to act. And for me in particular, that's why I went back and forth all year on Minnesota, OKC, Minnesota, OKC. I kept saying, one of these young teams is going to make a run. It's not going to be both. Well, eggs on my face because it is both, and they're both really good. And I have no problem saying that because, again, sometimes you don't know what you don't know. And that benefits you. And I feel like that for OKC and Minnesota, that's why they're thriving right now.
Like, Luka Doncic could go down as the all-time middle child, right? Like, the middle child, essentially, in the sense that the older child was LeBron, Steph, Durant, all these guys that were the face of the league for so long. And these other teams, like Golden State, the Lakers, whoever you want to look at out west, LeBron's teams in Cleveland, like, those were the teams. Those were there was an era where that was what was controlling the NBA. And then as we were going to turn it over to Luka as the new face of the NBA, as a soon-to-be MVP at some point, as the Mavericks were going to take their turn, the younger brother, the upstart OKC Thunder, the upstart Minnesota Timberwolves, just came surging out of left field and like jumped over the middle brother from a team and individual perspective. Like SGA, Anthony Edwards, OKC, Minnesota just decided, nah, sorry, Luka, sorry, Dallas, you missed your window. You never really had the window. You missed it. We're taking over from here, and now the league's moving in a different direction already.
So you're saying that Luka is like Venus Williams, like came onto the scene, was fantastic, then Serena overjumped her.
It was like, yeah, at least she, but she had her moment where she grabbed some championships, right? But Serena did jump her relatively quickly. Like this is a spot where just where they were about to step into the sunlight, Luka was going to take over as the face. The Mavericks were going to be this formidable threat out west. They figured out what to do with Kyrie Irving. He seemed happy. Like, it looked like it was moving in the right direction. Bam, here comes OKC in Minnesota.
Right, exactly. And there's so much fun to watch and see these young guys develop. And, you know, again, when you look at Dallas and you look at their scenario and Luka, the fact that it's so hard for them to get big-time free agents to go there. I mean, again, let's not forget Kyrie was a trade.
Yeah.
Because it's so hard for them to get those free agents to go there, sometimes they do get lost in the shuffle, not taking anything away from Luka's outstanding talent because he is. I'll also say this. I think that we also look at SGA and we look at Ant-Man and say, hey, those are American dudes that are getting it done, because there's so many foreign dudes that are fantastic in the league, and all of a sudden you're seeing some American dudes that are coming along as well. I think that's an element of the game.
It is. It absolutely is. It's the ones you can, I don't want to say relate to, but you might be a little bit more familiar with their game as they're coming up. Like Anthony Edwards playing at Georgia, you start to get to know them a little bit earlier. You don't have the majority of the people in this country following Luka's rise or Jokic's rise in the Euro leagues, and then they come over and you're kind of introduced to them through the draft and you get to learn them that way. Great angle as well. Q Myers, Joe Fortenball. Austin Rivers inadvertently started a great conversation the other day about the ability of NBA players to transfer over and make waves in the NFL, right? And then you got J.J. Watt and some NFL players talking about who from the NFL could make the transition to the NBA. Who would have it easier? NBA players going to the NFL, NFL players to the NBA. We're jumping in on that next. Q Myers, Joe Fortenball, Carlin versus Joe on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.
Let's go hockey. Edmonton -130 in their game one matchup, Western Conference semifinals against the Vancouver Canucks. could be a little bit dangerous here. I've played this angle twice. I'm 1-1. Essentially, you've got an Edmund team that's a little bit better rested, right? Going off against a given. Take a deep breath. Work your way through the words, Fortinball. You know this. Sound it out. Against a Vancouver team that's coming right off their series win against a feisty Nashville squad, right? So it's like rest versus rust. The rest really hurt Florida in game one against Boston. The rest didn't necessarily hurt Colorado in game one against the Stars as they came back to win in overtime last night 4-3. I think Edmonton's just a better team. Ton of star power. Absolutely lethal on the power play. And Vancouver, as good as they've been this season, they deserve a lot of respect. I think they're a little overvalued coming off that series win against Nashville. I think Nashville was a hell of a lot tougher than the final score indicates. So, final pizza money of the day. It's going to be Edmonton, minus 130 over Vancouver. All right, let's get into this for a second. Austin Rivers was on Pat McAfee's show. Handman, was this yesterday?
Yes.
He was on with him yesterday. All right. Somehow they got into this topic. I don't know how. Doesn't matter. It's kind of got everyone firing back and forth on it. So I wanted to see what Q had to say about this. Q Myers, Joe Fortinball, Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. How many NBA stars could legitimately play in the NFL? Like, not show up for a cup of coffee, but not necessarily make a Pro Bowl. Like, how many could go to the NFL and play? Here's Austin Rivers. Take a listen.
Where the best athletes in the world are, that's us. I could take 30 players right now in the NBA and throw them in the NFL. You cannot take 30 NFL players and put them in the NBA.
It's because you only allow five on the court. Let's all relax.
It's because you get a break every play. All you got to do is catch the ball and run north or south.
Listen, our sport.
It ain't complex.
Our sport's better. Our sport's better because we would just create a position for one of you 5'2", 40, running 6'10" guys. Can't get hit much. Fragile. Yeah. All right. A little thin, very. We would just create a position because we got big brains.
A lot going on there, but think about that for a second. Just let's indulge. The idea of being able to go from the NBA to the NFL. 30 guys. Do you think something like that's possible?
No, I do. I think that it's very possible that guys could be in the NBA and play in the NFL, and I do think vice versa. The NFL could find a bunch of players that could go and play in the NBA. These are extreme athletes that we're talking about, and the majority of them grew up doing what, Joe? Playing multiple sports, and a lot of them could have played college ball in multiple sports. Some just chose to say, yeah, no thanks, I'm going to focus on the NFL, or no, yeah, I'm going to focus on the NBA. But let's not make a mistake about it, man. I mean, growing up, most people played multiple sports. You saw them. I mean, hell, you played sports all year long, right? And, you know, I'm not saying that you could jump in the NFL, or I could either, but I just think that these extreme athletes that we're talking about, if they were focused and motivated, and that's the key right there, to go excel right there on the gridiron or the hoop court, they could do it.
I mean, if I'm not mistaken, what was it? Tony Gonzalez played basketball at Cal, right? And then Antonio Gates, smaller school, right?
Right.
I'm blanking on it. But he played both sports.
How about Charlie Ward?
Charlie Ward went to the NBA after winning a Heisman Trophy for Florida State. Jimmy Graham's a great example. Jimmy Graham at the University of Miami played 1 year of football. He was a basketball player. He played 1 year of football his entire life, then went to the combine, then got drafted by the Saints. He had a pretty damn good career. Like, injuries got him late, but people forget peak Jimmy Graham. Fantasy owners remember. Jimmy Graham was a baller.
Look, I know this is a different sport, but Russell Wilson was drafted by the Rangers.
Yeah.
Well, John Elway held out because he could play baseball. I mean, look, we're talking about different sports now, but these guys are extreme athletes, to my point, that they aren't just one-trick ponies. They could do a lot of things.
Calvin Johnson, Pro Football Hall of Fame wide receiver, weighed in this morning on Unsportsmanlike on this very subject. Take a listen to his comments.
Austin Rivers' comment is just not that's false. Just put it like that. The amount of work and the hardening of your body to go to a 16, 17 game season now, NBA players ain't ready for that. I'm not saying they cannot do it as a professional athlete, but to get up and down off that ground and take hits and keep on playing, man, these guys have trouble getting up and down off the basketball court.
I mean, you had to know someone was going to say something like that. Like, when the hallmark of your product is load management, and we're all just comfortable with the idea of, yeah, you just don't want to play tonight. We understand. It's a night you're just going to take off. NFL players are going to look at that and be like, yeah, you're not really cut out for what we're doing here.
Right. And their argument is going to say, yeah, but we play 82 and you play 17. Yeah. Right. So they're going to say it. So there's always an argument. But again, the NBA players, they're allowed to get away with that. they're allowed to get away with load management. They're allowed to flop like they do in soccer, right? I mean, of course, we don't want to see it anymore. But if they were put in that position, like, there's no mistake in, there's no doubt in my mind that LeBron could play in the NFL if he wanted to. He's an extreme athlete, right? I mean, the dude is fantastic. Look what Bo Jackson could do. He did everything.
Yeah, but, well, Bo's one of the all-timers. I feel bad for the young generation that doesn't know Bo.
Athletes can do what they're motivated to do.
I'm glad you brought up LeBron, because I always had a point about him playing in the NFL that people would argue with me about, and I understand. Everyone always just assumes like LeBron would be this great wide receiver in the NFL. I'm not doubting that at all. I'm not at all. But I always thought, why wouldn't you want to play him as like a pass-rushing D-end?
That's
because think about it for a second.
I thought more of a tight end. I didn't think wide receiver. I thought a tight end.
Tight end, wide receiver, and again, not arguing. I think right. I think he could do it. I'm just saying no one ever thought about the idea of taking him, playing him as like an elite pass rusher, right? Mm-hmm. 6'9", 250 pounds. You've seen the speed.
Yeah.
You've seen the agility. Like, find me an offensive tackle who routinely will be able to stop LeBron James coming after the quarterback.
That's not an angle that I thought about.
No one does, right?
They always assume
go play wide receiver, tight end, and I'm not disagreeing. I'm sure he could be great at those.
Right.
But who's blocking LeBron James coming off the edge?
That's a good point.
Like, that's an insane athlete coming at you. Generally, you have a guy who's like a big DN, but he might be a little bit thicker to withstand punishment, so that could jeopardize speed or whatever. But you think about 6'9", 250 pounds, the way he moves, coming off the edge. Who in the NFL is moving over to the NBA? Like, I got to see your shot. That's the thing. Like, in the NBA, I can see the athleticism and I can project a little bit. In the NBA, I got to see your shot. Like, I can't assume these guys all have a shot.
Well,
they all have a handle.
I can tell you, and this is not a brag, but I played with Stephon Diggs. He can ball.
Played
with Max Crosby. He can ball. Played with, who else is, there's a lot of NFL players that were here in town.
How were you playing hoops with all these guys? What happened here?
Hey, I was just there. Like, I was just another player. I was not a player, right?
You just setting picks?
No, I wasn't even doing that. I was sub. Like, Tyreek Hill. Tyreek Hill called me old school. Like, it was the third quarter, and I hadn't got in the game yet, which I was fine with. And he said, hey, we need to get old school in. And I looked around like, wait, who's he talking to? And then realized he's talking about me and thought, dang, that's where I'm at in my life.
I'm old school,
apparently.
How'd you end up in this game?
It was a celebrity game, and again, they needed an extra, so your boy's there to fill in.
Was it celebrity NFL, or were there other guys?
No, it was mainly NFL. It was, Pro Bowl weekend here in Vegas?
Everything
comes here in Vegas.
Yeah.
And so I was invited, so if I'm invited, I'm going to do it.
Did you get any shots up?
Yeah, I got two, but I missed. But I did get a rebound over Max Crosby. I got a rebound over Max Crosby. That's all that matters. Like, I soared up there and got the rebound.
It was the putback.
It was the putback that I tried to rush because I didn't want to get blocked, and I missed it.
No, I can understand that. So you missed the putback. What was the other one? Mid-range?
Hey, man, I came off a screen. I caught the ball and just fired the shot up because, like, I was in the moment. It didn't, 0-for-2, it's okay. It happens, man.
Orlovsky has a list. I got to bring this thing up of the 30 NFL players he think could cross over and play. I'm going to try to bring this up right now. That he put together his own list, as he is wont to do, of 30 NFL players that he thinks could cross over. And, of course, this is where the internet wants to slow down. Scroll, 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 scroll. He's got a lot of retweets here. Orlovsky's got a lot going on. 23 hours and now I'm missing it. Did he not post this on Twitter? I thought this was up.
I saw it earlier.
Yeah. No, I don't have it.
It was a big miss on my behalf. He said easy 30. It was something about like easy 30. And I think he had
there it is. All right, I'm going to start reading them off. DeMarcus Lawrence, DeVonta Smith, DeAndre Hopkins, Justin Fields, Mark Andrews, Lamar Jackson, Garrett Wilson, DeForest Buckner, Amon-Ra St. Brown, the Diggs brothers, Brian Burns, Mike Evans, Cooper Kupp, Jamar Chase, Jalen Ramsey, CeeDee Lamb, Christian McCaffrey, Justin Herbert, T.J. Watt, Derrick Henry, Sauce Gardner, A.J. Brown. I'm not going to go any further. Any rhyme or reason to this? I'm curious. Devontae Adams
could ball. I know for a fact he could ball. He played basketball to begin with.
As I'm reading these names, I'm all over the place. I go from T.J. Watt to Derrick Henry to Justin Herbert to Christian McCaffrey, and I'm thinking, has he seen these guys play basketball? He's just throwing out names.
He's just throwing out
what he thinks, the pure athletes that he thinks could go do it. Like, Patrick Mahomes is on this list. He played ball
in high school.
Really?
Yep.
All right. I'm not doubting the list. It's just I'm trying to get to the inner workings of Orlovsky's mind, which could be a dangerous place to be.
Just right. guys that he heard probably played ball in high school and maybe, you know, a little bit dipped their toes in college.
Good stuff. What do we got? Final prediction for the Knicks tonight.
I got the Pacers.
You got the Pacers? Yep. I like the Pacers plus points as well. He's Q Myers. He's done a fantastic job this week. I'm Joe Fornball. Just here because I'm contractually obligated. Carlin versus Joe. Freddie and Harry next. ESPN Radio on the ESPN app.
Thanks for listening to the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio. You can listen to Carlin versus Joe weekdays from noon to 3 Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on Sirius XM Channel 80. You can also watch and listen on the ESPN app. The Carlin versus Joe podcast.